My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I'm very happy to say I am here joined by the returning triumphant Kelly. Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Many people are out there saying the boys are back in town. And those people, they're right.
So glad to have you back.
I'm so happy to be back.
It was a very lonely 2 weeks.
I bet.
Of sitting and talking to myself, which I still find to be a very odd experience. I couldn't tell you any single thing I said on either of those episodes.
I can tell you they were good. They were good episodes. I listened to them. I give both of them five big booms. Had a great time.
Great. Yes, I largely start speaking and then my brain turns off and I don't actually know what I'm saying. And then at the end of the episode, I'm like, well, I guess I said something.
I bet that was good.
So
hope I didn't say any slurs.
Yeah, I think I can get over that low bar. that I'm not too concerned about. But so glad to have you back as the way the show should be.
Yes.
Two great guys talking about Joshi Wrestling. And
two great guys talking about some broads.
We've reached the point of the year where, in my opinion, things get a little less exciting. This is a good way to get people to keep this podcast going by saying things are getting less exciting.
Yeah, nothing's happening, and we're just going to fill some time.
We got some things. We do have some things to talk about. But before we do, of course, we have to plug everything. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. Follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. Follow me at TayMainbo. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping bomb-audio. So let's get into it. Not going to do a full in-depth show review of any of the shows this week, but we will talk a bunch of shows, starting with an update to the Stardom Tag League standings as they currently stand as of this recording. The current standings in the Red Goddess block are Reckless Fantasy, the team of Waka Tsukiyama and Rion, down in last with 0 points, all tied at 4. Hina and Rani Yagami, Sari and Miku Kanai, and Bozilla and Akira Kurigane up at 6 points. BMI 2000, that would be Natsuko Tora and Ruaka. Two teams tied at 7, Yuna Mizumori and Mei Sierra, and the mysterious Dos Locos de Mexico at 7. And then Sayori Poi, Natsupoi, and Sayori Ano up at the top of the block currently with 8 points. Then in the Blue Goddess block, down at 0 points is Suzu Suzuki and Rina Yamashita. Then Azumi and Miyu Amasaki at 2 points. At 4 points is Aya Sakura and Saika Karara, and Amisore and Lady C. Then we have two teams at 6, two teams at 8. The teams at 6, Siri and Saki Kashima, and Konami and Rina. And tied at the top of the block with 8, Hanako and Megan Bain, making a bunch of plane trips.
Yeah,
back and forth. And Saya Ida and B. Priestley up there with 8 points. So that is the current tag league standings for Stardom. What else has been going on? Marigold had a Korakuen Hall show in front of 785 fans on November 17th. Really four, I would say, well, four big matches, I guess we'll call it, although some of them you might not say are big. Kelly, I don't even know. We didn't talk. What did you watch of this show?
I watched the top three, and like I half paid attention to Mai Sakurai versus Now.
All right. So we'll talk the top four. That singles match, that Mai Sakurai singles match, Mai Sakurai defeating Now Ishikawa in 11 minutes and 22 seconds. I thought this was a pretty good match.
Yeah. Mai Sakurai, again, one of the best workers in Marigold.
All things considered, I thought it was very fun, hard worked. I would go 4 stars. I think it might be the best thing on the show. Certainly would be close either way. But a very solid showing. Mai Sakurai continuing to prove us wrong about her skill, her in-ring skill. You know, I don't know what is going to happen. I wish this skill in the ring would have happened while she was getting actively a big push. And not
it comes and goes with her. Like, every now and then I watch a match of hers and I'm like, damn, Mai Sakurai is kind of great. And then I'll watch the next one and be like, well, I don't know what I was thinking last time.
But good to see there. Then we had 3 title matches. The first one was Mayu Iwatani successfully defending her Marigold Superfly title against the 15-year-old Phenom Coco. That match going 8 minutes and 51 seconds. I had not yet seen Coco wrestle. Kelly, I think you were probably in the same boat.
I am.
In the same Coco boat. I was very impressed.
Same.
I was like, wow, this is great. High-flying. Very, you know, helps to be, I think, in the ring with Mayu Iwatani.
I mean, that helps a little bit.
Yeah. But I was very impressed. I also like this. I went 4 stars. I thought it was very fun. Thought it was well-worked. I thought they did well to, you know, Again, I had not seen Coco yet, so I don't know. Maybe there's a match out there of hers where I might look and be like, ah, she's not as good as I thought. Either way, I thought they did well. If she has any flaws, of sort of hiding those flaws, they didn't overstay their welcome. It went a little less than 9 minutes. Really, for a Superfly title match, really had no complaints for me.
Yeah, this is what this title should really be. I really enjoyed Coco. I kind of love her like indie scummer vibe she has. Just like, it's one of those where you're like, how'd you end up on this show? You should just be in one of those shows that's like outside. There's people walking by half interested in what they're seeing, and then they keep going. Like or like Dove Pro nonsense. But yeah, so I was very excited by Coco. I'll be keeping an eye out for her working shows going forward. Fun match. I think Mayu may have given Coco a little bit too much offense. Like, there was bits where I was just like, well, I think Mayu should just put her away and be done with this. But like, I don't know. I had a great time with it. I went 3.5.
I was just happy to have a match where someone is like, ah, this is a young phenom, and not have it be like, oh, this is someone who needs like 3 years of work before they're any, they're of any interest to me. Like,
and also,
someone who's like, yeah, they're
also
amazing.
Also, have the commentary screaming at me about, they're one of the greatest rookies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow, that was an interesting commentator. The Oliver Twist, you know, Fagan has joined the commentary team. It's always nice to be like, ah, this person is super athletic, and then watch them and be like, oh yes, they are very super athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the top rope stuff, with the rope, I don't know, again, I don't know move names, but the Arabian, not the Arabian press, but like doing things where it's not like, ah, this person is athletic and they sort of like jump over the rope, where you're like, okay, very close. Like, very Saya when she started, when it was like, okay, this person is actually quite athletic and it isn't just someone hyping them up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was never a bit where I felt like she was tripping over herself.
Yeah, or like, ah, you tried that and maybe don't try that again.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
And that's kind of why I went with like the indie scummer vibe, because it's like, there are those guys, you see them and they're like so polished and you're like, oh my God, why isn't this person the most like booked wrestler ever? And then you see them again in 5 years on some produce show. Like, that's what Coco felt like to me.
Yeah. So happy to have Coco. Hopefully Coco sticks around. Because as we talk about every time we talk about Marigold, Marigold needs more people who are good and less people who are not good.
Yeah. Speaking of the next match.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say even after that, but the next match was the Marigold Twin Star title match. The champions, Darkness Revolution, Chiaki and Misa Matsui, defeating the super rookie duo of Sarah Yamaoka and Victoria Yuzuki in 19 minutes and 33 seconds. The one thing on commentary that did make me laugh, I don't even remember who was the person who said it, but one of them was like, Victoria Yuzuki has the greatest aura
you've ever seen.
And I was like, she does? Like, I know that often people are like, ah, this person is a good wrestler, they have good aura, but I'm like, she just feels like a person to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a person who has a lot of potential in wrestling. I don't look at her and think like, wow, what aura.
Yeah.
She has. Like, I would say that no one in Marigold has aura.
No, it's, and whatever the commentator that lives in my head that kind of sounds like Wade Barrett was just going on and on and on about her aura. It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it is just like, I don't know. Like, who has aura? Like, Saya Kamatani has aura.
Yeah.
I would not say that Victoria Yuzuki has aura.
No, she kind of, she's there. She's a talented wrestler, but I don't know about any aura there.
But this match I thought was very average.
I thought it was a lot worse than that.
What now, Kelly, to reveal some behind the scenes information, is this the match where you messaged me and said, I don't like watching Marigold.
Yeah. Yes, this is exactly that match.
Yes, I told Kelly I was treating him. You know, he's been away for a month. I know he's missed being here. So what better way to welcome him back than with his favorite promotion and his favorite wrestlers?
Truly think Chiaki might be the worst wrestler out there at the moment.
I just find them very boring. Like, I don't feel anywhere as strongly as you do. I just watch them and I'm sort of like, this is not all that exciting. Like, and then they're doing their sort of, you know, $5 hate imitation.
Yeah.
You know, we're cheating heels, and it's sort of like, ha, okay. Aww. That's fine. But
what really gets me with Chiaki. I've said this before, and I'll say it again until one of us is dead. Why have a chair as your gimmick when you can't fucking use it? I've never seen a wrestler be so bad at using a chair. That includes Hulk Hogan, who is notoriously terrible at swinging a chair. Chiaki she can't do it. Someone needs to sit her down and say, look, we need to get you something else. This ain't working.
Well, I'm saving I'll turn into Kelly on the next match, so.
Oh, yeah. I ended up going 1 star on this match. Sari and Yuzuki did what they could. And what they could was not much, because they were working with Misa Matsui, who is serviceable at best, and Chiaki, who is, in my eyes, the single worst wrestler on a stage that, like, people can see.
Yeah, I thought the rookies did well. I think Victoria, you know, as much as we said she has no aura, which is true, she does not. You know, Victoria Yuzuki has gotten a lot better. I think Sari has been very good. It was just sort of a match where it just was destined to be average.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as much as I don't agree with you on Chiaki, or I guess we're far away, like, I'm also not looking at their matches thinking, oh my God, like, oh yes, they're defending their tag titles. Like, I'm so excited to see them.
And I went in with basement level expectations, and even I was still disappointed. And it's like, the match went 19:33. It felt like it was never going to end.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where this is a revelation of this roster does not have enough people who are
no
of marginal quality. Like, yes, there are other people like Sari and Victoria could have won the titles. I'm not saying they would have, but they could have. Like, they would be fine.
Yeah.
Like, probably Mai Sakurai and someone would be fine. But, like, other than that, like, Chen Yoda and someone. Like, other than that, there's really no, like, Chen Yoda and Utami. I don't know.
Yeah. There aren't that many options.
There aren't that many options.
No.
Of people. And then if you put really good people, you have to have title matches or else they're not on the card. So yes, the eternal Marigold problem. But now it's my turn. As the main event was a singles match, Miku Aono defeating Chika Goto, non-title match. Chika Goto coming out at the beginning and asking for it to be a title match, which was rejected.
So stupidly.
And then she lost, and I was like, well, good thing it wasn't a title match. Chika Goto to me is, I don't want to say the worst kind of pro wrestler, but the to me, one of the most annoying type of pro wrestlers, which is very big, like very large wrestlers who are weak.
Yes.
Which is like the stupidest kind of wrestler, because you're like, ah, they're going to come in and really do all this stuff. And you're like, oh, they're less strong than 95% of Joshi wrestlers.
She walks in and is like, hey, check this out. And then shows you the worst giant swing you've ever seen.
Like the giant swing, the one on the floor that she did, I actually thought, okay, not horrible.
That was probably the best one she's ever done.
And then did it in the ring, and I was like, no, no, stop.
My favorite was one on commentary. They're just like, oh, between the two, she must have got at least 20 rotations.
Yeah.
Like, what? Cool. Great fact.
Well, no, I think they went, wow, she got 20 rotations. Dot, dot, dot. Between the two swings, yes, she did.
That's right.
It was like very much presented as if it had happened, and then was like, aha, like between the two. But it's not even, it's like, okay, she did 20 swings. Like, great. What do the swings look like? The swings look like a person who is desperately like, I just have to keep going and maybe it'll get better. Because other than that, it's just sort of like, ah, a person. Like, Kelly, if you and I were hanging out together and I was like, Kelly, I'm going to do a giant swing on you. Like, if you probably gave me a little bit of help, which is, again, probably what is happening to some degree. Like, I could probably swing you in the same manner. Because I think some of it is just once you get going.
Yeah, once you get the momentum.
You should just be able to keep going. But, like, she doesn't even get momentum. It feels like every swing is like, come on, we gotta, you know, get you going over here. And it's just nothing she does looks any good. I don't ever, like, she's so large, and yet I don't ever think, oh, wow, like, she's gonna wrestle someone really small. This will be an interesting dynamic. It's like, no, she's very weak.
Yeah.
She has no strength. Like, I'm trying to think of other examples. I'm sure there's men. I know there's men's examples that I'm not thinking of now, of just like people who are huge. And then you're like, oh, they're going to do like a suplex and they're sort of struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Like with completing these things. It's like, wow, she does a body slam. Like, how exciting. She can do a body slam on a wrestler much smaller than she is. Woohoo! So, again, this match I thought was pretty boring. I thought the whole thing at the beginning, like, was stupid. My thing would be, if she's going to lose,
just make it a title match.
Like, the only reason you go, no, it won't be a title match, is then she comes and she beats Miku. And then it's like, see, I told you I deserved a title match. Okay. Not, I deserve a title match. No, you don't. And let me prove it to you how much you don't deserve a title match.
Now, is this Rossi burying Chica because she gained, like, a little bit of weight?
I mean, anything is possible. Rossi is very vindictive to his own wrestlers, as we've known from Stardom and also have known from Marigold. But I would say, look, you drop into this show and you watch my Sakurai, now Ishikawa, and that Superfly title match, that's like 35 minutes of your life, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
So would recommend that, and would say don't watch the rest of the show.
Yeah. One thing I liked about the main event was in the opening minutes, Miku was beating Goto like she owed her money, and I'm guessing she thought, like, hey, this might wake up something and I might be able to get a good match out of her if she starts working stiff. And then that didn't happen, and so she kind of like lightened up on her strikes after that.
I don't believe there's anyone in, well, probably not anyone in Marigold excluding Utami, excluding Mayu. I don't believe there's anyone in Marigold who could be brought into that place of, oh, I'm going to beat you up so you start shooting on me.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Sari, maybe Victoria. I guess I'll include them. But, like, no one else on this roster is anywhere close to that mentality.
No.
Of, yeah, now I'm really going to sock it to you. Like, there are no Sari-level mental people in this company.
Yeah, my note in the main event was, this is what happens when half your roster is bad.
And, well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm like, you got to get Miku on the card, and the only person you can put her against is someone who is so bad that you actively do a thing that's like, you don't deserve a title match. See? Watch.
Yeah.
Like, again, with the tag titles, who else are you going to put up there? I mean, I think Chen Yoda would be fun. I think she's better than most of the people on this roster.
Oh, easily.
She's
in that good half.
So, yes, that's our check-in with Miracle. What else happened? Seedling had a show on November 14th. There was a tag title match. The champions, Mio Shirai and Natsu Sumire, retaining their titles against Misa Kagura and Sumika Yanagawa. Oz had a show on the 16th. This was a bit confusing. I was trying to find information about this because I don't think the second show streamed, or maybe I missed it. But on the 16th of November, Sonoko Kato won the Pioneer three-way title in a match with Akino and Kakaru, and then retired the following week.
Oh.
At a retirement show that she didn't defend the title on.
Well, so, she's taking it with her.
Like, I'm like, did she decide not to retire at the retirement show? Because it does say, and on cage match, it says she is still the champion. And yet, in her list of matches, November 23rd, Sonoko Kato retirement.
Okay.
Where she did not defend the title. And yeah,
well,
so I'm like,
bye Pioneer title.
Okay. Like if I look her up with like Pioneer, let's see. Well, there's video on the Oz Academy website, unexpectedly wins the Pioneer three-way title.
Okay.
In her final Oz match, but that's not true. That's also untrue. Because she had a retirement show.
Well, could they be like saying, oh, the retirement show, that's really like a produce show, not an Oz show.
Defeating the reigning champion and challenger, Kato became the first three-way champion. What? This is even more confusing. What are the comments saying? Congratulations.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
To witness the final show. Oh my God. Oh. Oh my God. They have English dubbing on the Oz videos on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I think this is fully an AI voice.
Oh,
I
it's got to be. Absolutely.
It's like this woman who's like, I want to do this. I am here to say hello. Like, I'm like, this is fully AI.
Hello, I am Sonoko Kata.
It looks like I'll have the best retirement. Then, okay. I mean, I guess the answer is she doesn't care. It also is funny because the video right before this is the video saying she's talking about her final retirement match with Ryo Mizunami. And yet the video where she wins the Pioneer title is like, it's her final match. Anyway, I know you're all waiting on tenderhooks about what will happen with the Oz Academy Pioneer title. But unfortunately, I don't have that information for you.
Sorry, guys.
Kelly, how many Pioneer title holders do you think you could name?
Oh, God.
I'll give you a hint. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There have been 8. Well, now there have been 9. Pioneer, Oz Academy Pioneer title holders.
I'm going to say I could
name... I've given you 2.
I think I could name 5.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Sonoko Kato.
Correct.
Kakeru.
Correct.
Akino?
Correct. That's okay. 3.
Ryo Mizunami?
No.
Damn it.
I mean, you're sort of in the right headspace going with, like, Akino and, you know, thinking, like, who has a chance? Who would have a regular chance of winning this title?
Sakura Hirota.
No, I think there's one other one that's obvious to me.
Would Ozaki have done it?
Yes, Ozaki. Okay.
Yeah.
There's 2 I think would be slightly tricky. You're at 4.
Is the Pioneer like? Is it like? No, it's not. No. Maya Yukihi?
No.
Damn it!
It debuted. It debuted in April of 2022. So I think Maya Yukihi has mostly been absent for that. I'll give you a hint. Ozaki's tag partner.
Police.
No. No, but Ozaki's female tag partner. In their Guinness Book World Record setting tag team.
I feel like the dumbest person alive. I do not remember who that would be.
That would be Jaguar Yokota.
Oh, duh.
So the other ones are Masked.
Does Kong ever have it?
Nope. Damn. Masked Hana Hana. Kairi Yonayama.
I was going to say Yonayama, but I was like, she's probably fucking around in Stardom. But
has had it twice.
Damn
Momoko
it.
Hanazono. Itsuki Aoki.
Okay.
Are the others. And the way things are going, they might be the only ones.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, that was a fun little whatever that was. What else is going on? Tokyo Joshi had their 10th inspiration show. Not much on that show. Gaba G-chan was on that, if you're a Gaba G-chan person.
I think everyone is the first time they see it, and then they're like, oh wait, it's just this every time.
Sure. Other than that, what did people vote? Oh, one person gave it a 7, Gaba G-chan.
Sure.
Oh, and this is my first time watching.
Yep, I knew it.
A Gaba G-chan match.
I knew it.
And it's a great comedic gimmick.
Yep, it's really fun the first time you see it.
He said, "There's a beautiful woman," when he looked at Rika, and I laughed. All right. So there you have it.
Old grandpa.
So that is Tokyo Joshi. And then we had Sendai Girls on the 16th. We had the Chihiro Hashimoto 10th anniversary show, Kelly. You watched this?
I did.
Well, I think certainly the notable match of the show was the main event, Chihiro Hashimoto against Seri. This one got a 9.33 on Cage Match. I was not as high. I probably would have gone like 4.25. 9.33, I guess, is like 4.75. I thought it was very good. You know, they've had enough matches now that I think they've had better in the past. Ones that I liked a little more. I thought maybe Sari could win the title. She's had it before, but not winning, but very hard hitting. I think what you would expect.
Yeah.
You know, this is sort of a, you know, high floor, high ceiling type of match where still very good, 4.25 stars. It was what you expected. Very hard hitting, loud, a very loud match. So really enjoyed it, but I saw that 9.33 and I was like, wow, that's like a match of the year candidate. And I wasn't quite at that level. What about you?
I ended up going 4.5 on it, but it's kind of like the gentleman's 4.5, where I was just like, I don't know what to rate that. I had a great time. 4.5, sure. I'm like, I know they've had better, but this sure was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it felt very good, but it wasn't like a standout.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like, oh, this is a match in 5 months. I'm going to be like, oh, remember that Chihiro Sari match? Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like, oh, yes, these are two very good wrestlers wrestling well.
Yeah. But it's like at the same time, if like my Sakurai and Chan Yoda went out and had this exact same match, we would be screaming about how it's like a match of the year candidate and it was amazing.
Well, sure. Yes.
So I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like you expect so much from these two and it's just like, yeah, that was fucking great. 4.5.
Yeah, this is very much sort of like a victims of expectations match where you're like, my expectation is this could be a 5-star match. And so when you're like, ah, it's 4.25, you're like, well, it was good.
Uh-huh.
But not, you know, the greatest. And as I said, they've had other matches.
Oh, yeah.
That I think I have gone 5 on.
Yes.
So I think it's also a victim of that where I'm like, oh, I have seen this and I have seen the, you know, top of what this can be. Also, I feel like Sari is now in a very weird, like, I know she's like, I'm freelance and I'm doing what I want, but she feels like she's in a weird space where, you know, she didn't win this match and she's just sort of floating around and I'm like, what is she doing?
Mm-hmm. It's very odd. It really feels like she's just kind of chilling. Like, she's just like, you know what? I can go, I can do whatever I want. I don't feel like holding up a company at the moment. I'm just going to get my girls booked on other shows, and that's about it.
But that was not the only anniversary. Mika Iwata having her 10th anniversary, that show had a tag team title match on it, Team 200 Kilogram, Even As You approaches retirement, keeping those titles, defeating FWC, Hazuki, and Koguma in a 10-minute match. So funny, something very indicative that made me laugh is that I was copying results from Cage Match for our notes. And the cage, whoever put these results in on Cage Match, neglected to put in the Mika Iwata match on the Mika Iwata 10th anniversary show results. Because I was looking at the page as I was copying, and I was like, wait a minute. Something is not right here. And I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, the Mika main event match is missing. And I was like, if anything really just sums up the Mika Iwata experience, it really is that. What else has been going on in Wave? On the 16th of November, they had a tag team title match, Saran and Yumi Oka, the champions, retaining against Haruka Umesaki and Hanika. And then the other big show of the week was Sariism 9, on November 10th. The main event was a tag team match, Seri and Suzu Suzuki teaming together to defeat Chihiro Hashimoto and Natsupoi. This show, unfortunately, marred by, and Kelly, I know that you were the same, the video file for the match having an audio lag on the show. So the audio was, what would you say, Kelly, about like 2 seconds off of?
It was a good two and a half, 3 seconds off.
Delayed from the action in the ring, you know. The main event, I think the action looked good, but very hard for me to sort of sit there and be like, ah, yes, this match is good, this match is bad, on a match where things are happening, and then 2 seconds later, it's like, boom, and you're like, oh, okay. So no fault of, I don't know if that was on the original video, like, I don't know if that was on the live stream. Problem. Yeah, like, I don't know where that came from. I don't know if I was just looking at a bad, you know, file. The fact that you also got it, because I was like, oh, maybe something's wrong with my computer, just is a bit of a bummer, because match, as I said, seemed good, but it was sort of hard to get into when the sound doesn't match with the action.
And especially with a match like this where it's Sari and Hashimoto are in there, and so the impact is a big part, and the sound that follows that is a big part of the match, especially when it's in a small room like this. Like, that adds to the ambiance of the match, and not having that be correct really makes it hard to watch a match like this. And I didn't even rate it. I enjoyed it for the most part, but I couldn't rate it because it didn't seem fair. I'm hoping that we'll get a YouTube upload of this from Sari and the audio will be correct so we can kind of give it a fair shake at some point.
So that is everything that happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. What is coming up? Well, the Stardom Tag League will be coming to a conclusion in about a week's time. Seedling has a show on December 6th, but far enough away that they have not announced anything. Tokyo Joshi will be doing a Korakuen Hall show with the J-pop group Ocha Norma, Ocha Pro Korakuen. I think it's going to involve a few matches and then a few performances. I think it's sort of being counted outside largely of the Tokyo Joshi universe. Not universe, but...
continuity?
It's sort of... I don't think of it as a Tokyo Joshi Korakuen Hall. I think of it as this J-pop group, which is bringing in Tokyo Joshi.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
The information, and I think this may be another translation item. I don't know if they've said anything about who's wrestling on the show, but the website says all, okay, so it says everyone belonging to Tokyo Joshi will participate in all 5 games. I'm assuming that means they're going to have 5 matches and that they'll have Tokyo Joshi people. I'm assuming it won't be 5 matches with same people.
I have the full card here.
Oh, there you go.
It is a bunch of tags. So you got a 6-woman tag. I'm not sure what the main event is. I think this match that I'm about to read probably is. Yuki Aino, Toga, and Miyu Watanabe versus Yuki Arai, Suzume, and Mizuki. That's definitely main event. You've also got Ocha Pro Sekigun versus Coffee Breakers. Rika Tetsumi, Miyu Yamashita, and Mifu Ishida versus Kira Summer, Yuki Kamifuku, and Hyper Masao. You've got Ocha Nor Mask and Kaya Torabami versus Ren Konatsu and Wakana Uehara. Raku, Ryo Mizunami, and Pom Harajuku versus Chika Nanase, Shino Suzuki, and Mahiro Kiryu. And then Arisu Endo and Uda Takami versus Haru Kazushiro and Himawari. So it's a house show card, essentially.
Yeah, there you go. They will do Up Up Girls, and this says there are too many lives for 20 to 25 minutes.
Ooh, and this will air as a pay-per-view.
Yes, I did see that. Which I don't, is Ocha Norma, are they of well-known?
I could not tell you.
Let's read about, oh, they have a Wikipedia page.
Okay, that's a good sign.
They released their debut single, Koi No Crouching Start, on July 13, 2022. It's, the name means a Japanese-style living room.
Sure.
Let's see. Well, they that and that Crouching Start song was number 2 on the Japan Hot 100.
Okay, that's good.
So hard to say from the, they're part of Hello Project, which I know is a bigger thing. I don't know, I'm just looking at these. They have 8 members, 8 current members. Yeah, so we'll see. It is a pay-per-view. And it is happening, I think, right as we're recording our next episode. So may not get to it for next episode. But
yeah, and I'm gonna be honest. Happening. I ain't paying to view this house show. that ain't happening.
But it has 40 to 50 minutes of Ocha Norma action.
Oh, okay. Now I'm paying to view.
Yeah.
This might be one of those shows that just like doesn't even hit the websites we had for a report to the police. Like, cause I could entirely see all the normal people being like, no, I'm not paying for that to rip it.
Well, and that's why I meant it's sort of outside of the Tokyo Joshi.
Yeah.
Sort of world. So, what else is happening? Ice Ribbon has a show on November 24th, Manami Katsu will defend the Ice Infinity title against Karari Wakana, and Wave, their usual first of the month show on December 1st, will be a Jumping Bomb Angels 40th anniversary. No, not a Jumping Bomb Audio anniversary, but Jumping Bomb Angels anniversary, of course. The inspiration for this podcast's name. And Kelly, what is going on in Choco Pro?
Choco Pro's got a named show. I think it's at Shinjuku Face. I could be wrong. Coming up on the 28th, main evented by an Asia Dream tag title match. Makoto and Sayaka defending against Miyu, Yatsuba, and Soy. Not the greatest card from them. When is Rina Yamashita hurt? Because she is not booked on that show at all. And I think when I was looking at the results from the tag league, there were some like forfeited matches.
Let's see.
For her and Suzu. So I'm wondering if she got hurt. Because typically she would have like a title defense on a show like this.
Well, no, because like on the 6th, well, unless she got, no, she wrestled yesterday. She wrestled today.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, the 16th, 17th, and then she wrestled at Oz today.
Odd.
At the Sonic Okato retirement show.
Then I don't know what's going on with her and why she's not on this show.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
Well, that is everything for the Joshi action, but of course we have, for the first time in a month, Kelly's Corner.
Oh shit,
Kelly,
that's
there's
me.
So much you could talk about.
I mean,
I don't know, maybe there isn't.
I have been spending a lot of my free time playing Pokemon ZA or Pokemon Legends ZA on the Switch 2, and it is a very good time. Like just being able to run around the city with my Pokemon, fighting just Pokemons that are hanging out. It feels like a good step forward for the franchise, so I'm hoping they keep some of this stuff going forward in the games. So that's been a good time. Other than that, I haven't been up to much that isn't stuff that was keeping me away from the show. That's in my corner. Taylor, tell me what's in your corner. Did you enjoy going to see wrestling last night?
Well, it was interesting. I went to AEW Full Gear. I have almost fully stopped watching AEW, but went was in the cheap seats. I had seen Blood and Guts, but I was really struck by how WWE pilled. A lot of the show is, but the audience almost exclusively talked about and processed the show in WWE terms. There was so much talk. I mean, people would come out and, like, Claudio came out at one point and the person next to me was like, "Oh, a WWE wrestler's here."
Oh God.
And I was like, ah. And like, I watched Darby Allin and Pac and then went to the bathroom, and in the line for the bathroom, the only two points of discussion were people shouting the word yeet and people talking about John Cena's retirement road. During the women's title match, the people behind me were arguing about Bianca Belair. So it really feels like people who like WWE and just want something more to do to, like, watch more wrestling, which is a bummer for me. And I have to say, it did make me very grateful that we have Joshi.
And, yes,
you know, the Joshi wrestling we enjoy, because even though, you know, sometimes I come on here like the Stardom shows and I'm like, I don't really have much to say about this match or about this show, you know, there's still a level of enjoyment that I think watching AEW last night, I'm like, I don't get this from this type of wrestling anymore.
Yeet.
So happy to have that. I mean, it was a fine show, but just feels like, I was sort of thinking in my head, it's like going back to your college or something, or your high school, and being like, the building looks the same. And, you know, some of the teachers are still here, but I don't belong here. Like, I need to go somewhere else. Also, the child next to me at one point thought Kazuchika Okada was I Show Speed. That was very odd. That was the oddest one of the night, because I was like, you think this sort of middle-aged Japanese muscular man looks like a, I don't know, how old is Isho Speed? Like 20?
He's gotta be like mid-20s.
Yeah. Like this very young guy, like it was
African-American man.
Yes. And then he thought Wheeler Yuta was Roman Reigns. So
I think that that kid needs his eyes checked.
Well, he was very confusing. He and his friends, what would happen would be that something would happen in a match and the kids would immediately chant for it to happen. So like in the CMLL match, people would do like flips and then the kid would be like, "We want to see flips." And it's like, you just saw one. And in the blood match, like they would bleed and they'd be like, "We want to see blood." And I'm like, it's there. Like, look on the screen. It was a very odd. They were very odd. They kept getting up and down. At one point, one of them walked in front of me to leave and then just stopped to watch the show standing directly in front of me. And I hadn't said anything all night, even though I was sort of annoyed. And at that point I was like, either move or go back to your seat. And like, yeah. His dad was there and was like, "You have to keep moving." But I was like, you cannot possibly think you can just stand in front of me and watch the show. Very odd. Some good things. Glad that there's no Stardom wrestlers over there getting sucked into the hell that is all of that. But it was fine. I had an enjoyable enough time.
Good.
Yeah. So that was that. But Joshi reigns supreme. as always. So that is all for us for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. But we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time as we close in on the end of the year. We will have one final regular episode, and then we will have our year in review episode, and then the year will be over. Wow. If you can believe it, time flies.
Yeah.
Time flies whether you're having fun or not. No. We are always having fun on this podcast, right?
Yeah. We're having a good time. Even when we're watching Marigold, we're having a good time.
It makes us feel alive. But for Kelly, I am Taylor saying so long and see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling podcasting network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network.